Hey, welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast. This episode is sponsored by AdamandEve.com. Go there, type in promo code SEXNERD, and you get free shipping. You get 50% off almost any item in that store. You get 3 free DVDs and an extra secret something. At the very beginning of this episode, I will be talking about a very special dildo in my life, and let's just say I want every person to get that dildo in the size that works for them. And at AdamandEve.com, you can shop for dildos by size. It's on the left-hand side in the dildo section, and I think that's just swell. Because sometimes your eyes are bigger than your other places. Go to AdamandEve.com, type in SEXNERD at checkout to get that free shipping. 50% off almost any item, 3 free DVDs, and an extra secret something. Alright, to break out of my advertising voice, I just want to let you know, if you're in San Francisco at the end of the month of October, I will be teaching at Good Vibes, Strap-On Sex, Wednesday, October 23rd, Boning 101, Sunday, October 27th. Tickets for both of these classes are $20 in advance, online, $25 at the door. Go to goodvibes.com to sign up for these classes, because it's gonna be great. So yes, cannot wait for San Francisco at the end of this month. Right before Halloween, yay! Okay. Recording this episode in New York City was a fantastic experience. Thank you to all the Naughty Monkeys who came out. It was quite a dance party after, too. Just to set the stage, there is a stool dead center with a sparkly dildo, a giant, pretty big sparkly dildo, gleaming as people were seated. And just in terms of for professional responsibility, near the end of this episode, a guest brings up circumcision and foreskin during a conversation around genital hygiene. It would be irresponsible of me not to mention that from infant to near puberty, on males, the foreskin is at least partially attached to the head of the penis. So, in the context of showering, it would be important to know this so as not to cause any pain or tearing. So, it'll make a lot more sense why I'm saying this when you get to near the end of the episode. All right, guys. I'm excited. I'm so glad you finally get to listen to this show. A big thanks to Pianos NYC over on the Lower East Side for having me. You guys were great. See you on the flip side. Go Team Fun.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Sex Nerd Saunders podcast. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Okay, I have roses. I don't know what's happening here. They're beautiful. Huh? Oh, snap. Okay. Oh my God, this is very official. I have a coupon of 15% off of my next order. Oh my God, it's actually a person I'm dating! Oh, I didn't know if it was like, oh! They said, "You're so cool, break all of the legs." Oh my God, they actually learned how to be nice. Oh, that's good. Okay, and then I feel like, oh my God, there's something else, and I don't even know what it is. Oh, the dildo, right. So, to start off the show, I wanted to share with you something about my own sexual journey. Has this been in my vagina? Yes. But I wasn't very happy about it. So, as a sex educator, anything that glitters in the night is really just like, ooh, I can add that to my toy box. It'd be cool. And I was like, this is like a big dildo. Like, if you want to think about like worrying about size things, or like if, like, am I too big? Am I too small? What size is normal? Like, this is definitely outside my range of comfort. And at the same time, I'm like, I want that in my vagina! And so I bought it, and I put a condom on it, because I knew that there was a chance that it wouldn't be right for me. And so I wanted to make sure that, like, it hadn't been contaminated. Even though I'd boil it, because it's medical grade silicone. But I didn't want to, like, you know, it doesn't have, it has never had juices on it. But, so I put a condom on it. Don't tell the people that I, never mind. I put a condom on it, and, this is a very firm silicone, and it was probably one of the least comfortable vaginal experiences I've ever owned, because I was, you know, like when you just really want to, like you need drive a car faster than you should, or like, you know, like anything where you're just going above and beyond, like what is okay. And it was just, and then you're like, more lube, I need more lube. And then I just like put it in there, and I'm like, okay, get turned on, get turned on, I'm more turned on. I'm like so turned on right now. Okay, okay. No, and then more turned on, and then I got it in there, and I was like, yeah, ooh! It's not okay. So I honor the glitter dildo. Because there's a certain lesson to be learned about what you think you want in your sex life and what actually works out. So yay to the glitter dildo. Also, I love it in blowjob classes, whoever gets the glitter dildo, because they're like, what? No, I can't do this one. And I'm like, eat it, bitch. I'm really excited about tonight's podcast. How many of you listen to the show while you're... how many of you listen to it like primarily while you're at work and no one knows that you're listening to it? How about public transportation? Working out? Huh. Any other variations of this? Anything particular?
What kind of work?
Driving to work.
Driving to work. So, okay, yes. Like, what about just actually driving your car to work? This is good. This is about as Survey Monkey as I get, clearly. Okay. So, all right. Also, there are chairs free. So, there are people standing. So, I have three chairs here if anyone would like to come up. Seriously. No one. We are not judging in the space. This is a safe space, right? Scream if you feel like this is a safe space. Oh, my God. What, a safe space is so sexy and fun. Okay. So, I would like to welcome up my first victim slash guest, which is Erin Lennox, comedian, woman about town. Come on up here. I'm sorry if I flash you, and
Hi.
Also you're welcome. Hi, Erin. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you. Now that I have half a beer in me, I feel great.
Excellent. So you're on the show. We just met.
Yeah. This is our first time.
I've heard very good things about you, and I enjoyed your online things. This is how magic happens. You're like, oh, you do Hollywood
you do
things. I do Hollywood things. Let's talk
about sex on stage in front of people.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. You described yourself when we met as a prudish slut, slutty prude.
Slutty. I think I said slutty prude, but I think it could go either way. Can flip it if you
Touché.
Want.
I'm curious about that. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think it means I don't know exactly how many people I've slept with, but I do feel like they all respected me.
That's a really interesting way to measure that.
There's definitely a period in my 20s where I wasn't getting last names, but... That's behind me now.
But they salute you when they think of you.
I think so. I would hope. One time, a guy actually took a photo out of my house, and it was me with a kitten. And I was like, it's creepy, but it's also like so respectful in some way. Like he was just like this moment of pure joy.
But he like stole it.
He also did steal from me.
Thieving.
He did do that for sure.
That picture is somewhere just covered in cum.
Yeah, know? I know. A kitten's face is just covered in some man's
cum. Oh, yeah. Don't feel bad for her, but feel
yeah,
bad
you guys
for the
got
kitten.
Really upset about the kitten.
Oh, my God. These people have hearts of gold. I love it. Well, yeah, thank you for being on the show. And yeah, please tell us, like, what's your website and, like, all the deets about who you are in the world.
Who am I in the internet world? It's my website's erinlennox.com. Very creative there.
It's
and,
solid.
And my Twitter is Erin Dewey Lennox at Twitter, on Twitter,
sure.
On net,
at
on web.
At Twitter.com.
At Twitter. Yeah. And that's it. And I'm touring. I'll be in the Northwest for a month coming up, starting next week. I'll be all over the place.
Excellent.
So come out. It's rainy there, too, just like here.
All right. Next up, Blaine McIntosh. Come on up to the stage. Blaine is actually a bit of a rock star. Who we have changed his name for the show because what did you say, record deal situation, legalities?
Yeah, not, totally, but it's a lie.
It's a lie. No, I mean truly, Because I know things you don't. We're using his porn name.
Yeah.
For this.
It's exactly my porn name, your middle name and the street you grew up on.
Totally, totally.
So if you know that much information, you can Google me and figure out who I am.
I love it. Oh.
Right?
I want to try. So.
I'd be terrified if that actually bore
happened.
Fruit. If that bore fruit, I'd be.
Oh, no. You know. Guys, be cool. Be cool. Don't Google him. Be cool. Respect. Let a person live their life. Okay, so I have you here today. I'm pretty excited because I love that the live show, and I don't know if you saw my tweets or my Facebooking that happened on today in the last few days. We're going to talk about some stuff that I feel like we need to talk about because I haven't talked about this yet on the show, and like every episode is a topic. So get ready. And there's going to be a little show and tell. And then we're going to take questions and quandaries from the audience. So, yes, get ready. You don't have to, but this is your chance because I can't fucking answer all my emails, okay? So this is your chance, FYI. I'm sorry if I didn't respond to you. I'm always dying inside in case that makes you feel better about everything. Okay, okay, okay. So this episode, I already talked to you guys about this, but I haven't actually talked about erogenous zones. So I'm defining erogenous zones as areas on the body, possibly dense with nerves, but really just sensitive to touch, places that you like to be touched or to touch other people when it comes to the sexy time. And like I Googled erogenous zones to see like what was out there, because the interesting thing about erogenous zones when it comes to media like Cosmo or askmen.com is you'll see these. Yeah, they're like, and I have friends who write for these different magazines and blog for these websites, but like the newest erogenous zones, like I'm sorry, but we've been this type of human for thousands of years. Like we've sort of figured things out, but the fact that you have a list of like the top 10 erogenous zones of 2013. And it makes me mad on one sense because the entire body is an erogenous zone. But on the other, I like that they're giving people new ideas. So I wanted to start with the question of what are our favorite erogenous zones? Like sexiest, sensitive, anybody? Anybody?
I'd like to know what the top 10 for this year are. I want to know that. I have not figured out everything. I was going to say, you asked like what our favorite or which ones we think are ones that don't get us going, but people are like, really into.
There's like the ones that you know are really hot on your body. Like, oh, or like when somebody actually during a makeout session starts touching it.
It's like real into it.
And you're like, oh snap, she's got my shoulder. But then when someone's like going at your neck in a way where you're like, oh my God, I'm dying inside. Like, did their last partner like that? Like, why are you doing that to me?
That's the thing is that there's no blanket. Like this is all the articles that come out, it's so individual to the person and you can totally fuck up. If you're trying to, you know what I mean? Like the last person who liked it, you can be in a situation where you're just using, what you read in a magazine or what the last or your primary or your last lover like was really into and completely not hit the mark, so to speak.
Yeah.
With the person that you're with at the moment, and it can be so confusing. You know, on the same level, like it was so. You know, if you're like, oh my God, I'm dying inside, just fucking say it. You know, because everybody wants to know, you know, what you're about. Like, if you like open communication, just to say, like, you know, that's no. You know,
fail. Yeah, right.
Maybe say it in a cute way, but you know.
Right, but, yeah.
I feel like that with nipples. Yeah. That's my nipples are, I have big boobs, so I have big nipples. I feel like they're a large target zone. People find a lot. And I get it, and I want to. I feel like the other people like it more than I do almost. It's like they're way into it. So I'm like, I'm going to let this go for a second. But if I start to bleed or something, I'm going to tap out. I'm tapping out.
I have questions, big boob lady. Yeah. I mean.
I hide them well, though. Can you tell?
Yeah, it's a really good job. I mean, I'm small boobed. You know, I'm packed for travel. Like, all the time.
Carry on.
I have enormous tits.
Oh my God. But great compression bras.
I wear the right type of t-shirt. Yeah.
But okay, big boob person. Okay. No, because I tend to, when I have female partners or when I just talk to my girlfriends about boobs, they're like, I don't really like them being played with as much as other people do, like you're saying. And I have a question.
Okay.
Is it, because I've thought about this, and especially thinking like erogenous zones, like what are we going to talk about? Is it that people just don't know, like have you ever had somebody who knew or had a sense of how to touch your chest zone, but they just, people tend to get really kamikaze on it and just like want to shove them together and do things?
No, that's it. You nailed it. Quite literally. That, you titty fucked it. That. I like a fistful grab, like I like a big grab, but I feel like sometimes people get too focused on nipple and I'm like, I have a lot of skin on my boob that you've got to deal with.
Mm-hmm. You need that, so you whole... like a perimeter sweep first.
Yes. Yes. Do okay. A recon mission and then check back in.
Ah. Like swirl it and come up to the nipple. Yeah, there is a certain like grab, shove, lick. Yeah. Right on the, is that?
Too much suction can be, it gets a little weird on my boobs for some reason. I feel like maybe it's also because I've always been very, I used to be, not anymore because I'm too old for that shit now, but I used to be very self-conscious about the size of my nipples.
Okay.
So I think when people were like sucking on them, I was like, oh my God, they're going to make it bigger. I'll never be able to sleep with anyone again.
That's really funny. Yeah, I'm like, suck it harder. Suck it harder. Oh my God, dude, that's pretty exciting. We just learned something.
I've got a chubby right now. Hearing about it.
I honor that. I honor and respect that.
It is always a mystery to me. You know, I try to be like, in general, I try not to have just like, you know, a couple of targets, you know.
Nipple,
you know.
Nipple clip.
Exactly. You know, like, yeah, a trio of. The trifecta, like I try to like stay away from, like not stay away from, but like try to explore more things. And some people are just, let's fucking get down to the big three. You know, just go for the nipples, go for things. But you know, it's always with a new person, it's always a little intimidating as a
totally.
Actually, you know, so I'm glad to hear you say that.
It does depend on the mood, though, too, for sure.
What's that?
It also depends. I feel like the erogenous zone moves depending on my mood. If I'm not into... What,
no, yes!
Agree.
Thank you. I was going to move into this, but I'm so glad that you're... This is like a life lesson. This is something that every sexual hooking up type human should be aware of, is that erogenous zones move. Like, I mean, my G-spot's like a moving target. It's just like, oh, I'm over here now. I'm over here now. What? I'm small.
Yeah, that guy is.
That guy?
That guy is real elusive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a cat.
Mm-hmm. A ninja cat. A cat with cum all over it. Why do you guys hate the kitten? What if that's what the kitten wants?
We've only started cracking the animal language code yet. Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that? Oh, yeah, they started to unlock, the scientists, have started to unlock animal language. So it could be like, oh, they totally are talking to each other. Like
animal sexual languages as they relate to humans?
Like, calm down, Blaine. No, it's
people who are claiming that haven't cracked the code. They're just saying that to get away with it.
They're starting to notice certain patterns and sounds and things. And actually, uh-huh. I've done the quick read on HuffPost, you know? But yeah, like that's a whole thing. Like they're actually, animals are much more intelligent and communicative than we thought.
That's going to change German porn. Like a lot. Change the face.
I love that you're the boss of,
I know.
You can get things with your pets, like with the specific things that they're asking for. You know, when they want, I have a cat and he wants a shot glass of water on the counter, or he wants a certain type of toast that he's into.
Oh.
And he's very specific about, his meows are very specific to what he's asking for. He looks up at the toaster, he looks back at me, you know. I'm the guy, I'm that scientist. Backing that code. I'm serious.
I've never had an animal, which is a tragic part of my life. It's a sad, sad, dark place. I've never had a pet. It's sad. I mean, I might have a human. I mean, I like, oh, it's okay? Yeah, I don't have one either. You don't have one either? But like, I deeply want one. Bible eventually. Kittens. But on this trip, I've been staying with friends who have cats. It's always just been all these cats, and I've just started to notice that. But when I think of the human body and erogenous zones, I kind of think of them like they're cats. Like when I talk to people about how to play with the clit, you have to kind of like be like, clit, I don't even know you're there. What? I'm just going to play with these labia for a while. Like, what? I don't even, yeah, I'm just smooshing it all around. You just accidentally got up in the mix. Don't even sweat it.
Oh my God, you know? That's so good. That's
yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, you're into it?
That's really good.
Yeah, take that.
I mean, I'll credit you, but.
Oh, thank you. So that's just the way I think of it. But then there's stuff like, you know, when you think of like, what are like the ears or like askmen.com. With ears, the nape of the neck is always a big. Oh yeah, Blaine, yeah. Doing the power fist.
For me, it's all. That's this whole area is a good breeze can get me going. With it's always and it always has been. Like when we were in summer camp and got hickeys. When's the last time we got a hickey? Like really, like a hickey that you had.
Like two around, you know? What
I
mean?
Like when you're 13 years old. Yeah. I was like, oh wait, you were making out with people. That's why I was like.
Yeah.
I thought that was
it wasn't like a class at summer class.
It was crafts.
But you know, for some of us that was a thing you did. One of the major things you did.
And I still like markings.
These, yeah.
So yeah. Still in summer camp.
The neck, like obvious like hickey necks.
I always
saw
them here. Did you were you shoving their face to the back of the neck?
Well, you know what, look, it starts there, but I don't know about drawing blood in it, but like the nape of the neck, like where the for me, the area where the hair starts to grow, right back there, that's just the hottest. That's a really, because it's tender. There's something really beautiful and soft and about it. You know,
everybody, touch the back of your neck and then just lightly caress, maybe in circles up and down, and just find like a sweet spot. Is anyone not finding some place that tends to be extra sensitive? Who's dead inside? No, that's cool. It's cool. Not everyone is wired the same way, but I always find it. I'm like, oh, am I sensitive there? Oh, shit, yeah! What? And I'll forget. So, yeah, I always like, I'm like, lick here. No, that's really cool.
I would like to point out for listeners at home that Blaine is wearing a very open-necked shirt.
Because you know what? It wasn't, and I washed it myself and just completely
destroyed.
It's rock star status. Just be. All right.
It says work when you're dead.
And FYI, I love comics. I love people who are, you know, part of their job is to be open about their lives. Like I love people who are able to kind of go like, yeah, this is me. And this is like, I totally respect the comedy world and people who are like that. That's part of the reason why I want those type of people on the show. But Blaine is a friend of mine who I've known for a couple years now. Did I meet you at Burning Man?
Yes.
We actually met at Burning Man. Sweet. Yeah, he has cool pants at Burning Man. But because I dig his mojo, like Blaine is specifically, of all the dudes that I've met, he's in a class of people who's just like extra loving, extra warm, like uber straight, like uber into the ladies, but like not hung up on like being worried. You're just always so open and full of love and just not stressed out like the rest of us about, I don't know, you just always
are. The rest of you stressed out?
I'm always stressed. I'm always a little like you stressed out.
I've never gotten that impression from you. I mean, you know, you've got a sold out room in New York City of people come to hear you talk about sex. Like,
I feel like talking about sex is sort of like the permission slip, but like you should see me on a date. It's like, I'm going to see something awkward right now.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, can I just make a side note? You look fantastic.
Thank you. This dress is a bit over the top for like regular everyday life. So I'm like, come on, wait for podcast. Like even when I teach classes, I teach like blowjob classes and all the stuff. If you're in Philadelphia, hey, I'm teaching all these Sundays, like all the blowjob classes ever on Sunday. Anyway, but it's just a bit much. But yes, thank you. All the polka dots. Excellent. So erogenous zones. Ears, neck. Here's the thing about the ears. I find just when it comes to like, because I went through a phase in recent years where I would just make out with a ton of people. Like, it was just like make out time. Like, sorry guys if you didn't miss that part, but like, it was like I was making out with everybody at parties. It was just like, and then at some point I realized that I was just making out with every person the same. Like, I had the same moves and I was just busting them out with different people. But then I started to be like, oh, I've cracked the code. I am that boring. And then I started to become more inventive and kind of realize that I needed to like flow more with who I was hanging out with. Hanging out, that's what I call it. but when I found that this, like, when people really like their ears being played with, like they play with the rim, like, I don't know, because like, ears are really sensitive. And especially when you're just making out with someone, like the neck and the ears, it's like, yeah, I'm going to suck on your ear like it's your dick. Ah, you know? but if you go real lightly and then like tease it, it's almost like the inner ear is like the ear vagina. And you don't, and you want to like make them want you to get in there, but like don't do it. And then you just take your tongue and be like, and then just for like just a moment, and they go, oh yeah, I'm gonna sing. Like, I don't, have you ever done that or experienced that where people, like, I don't know, it's my power move, okay? And but you can't like blah, 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 up in the ear because that's wrong. It's, no, it's not wrong. Some people like tongue baths in their ears, but I just find that that's like a thing that tends to work with a lot of different bodies.
Opinions? I like anything that's hinting at penetration and is not quite penetration. So that sounds right up my ear canal.
Oh yeah.
Right in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Slim. A power. Yeah, that's a major power move. But it is when you just can't just jump in.
Yeah. No.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, from a distance, like, you know, your tongue out running from a. but yeah, like the rim of the ear, I found that to be an almost across the board win, and then you know, and deep into the ear canal.
How
well.
Do you deepen?
Yeah. Sometimes. Some people really go, like a lot of people, I've experienced a lot of people really go for it, and then a few people really not go for it. but I don't know, it's just like, it's unusual for another one, and it's representative.
Can I ask a maybe silly question?
Totes.
Is there any correlation between how type A the person, like if the person like talks a lot or like how they let in conversation or not? I want there to be a metaphor there that may not exist.
Wait, as in the
really
more...
pushing this conversation metaphor. Like if you don't listen well, do you not like your ear penetrated is what I'm asking.
Wait, so is type A being like really detail oriented and like things to
happen and like
when
in
they
charge
want it
and regimented. Leads the conversation and doesn't, yeah.
Leader so, types.
Leader type, but like, I mean, I think in this context, I'm saying it negatively.
But that they don't like their ears played with, or they do.
I'm asking if they don't like the like deep tongue in the ear canal because they don't really like to hear other people's ideas.
That's an interesting. Just
here's
I feel like
my
we're
idea.
High or,
huh? Here's my idea. I'm gonna put my tongue right up on your brain. I think so. I think so.
The short answer,
right?
Is.
I mean, I think so because it's. I think because it's unusual and because it's. You just have to be open to something happening in an area that you're not used to it happening to. You have to be open to ideas, which makes you a better listener.
Yeah.
Which leaves you open to ideas and like, open to possibility.
Command center stuff.
This is absolutely not science based, but I'm loving it. I am loving that. This
I feel
is
like we're coming to a conclusion, and we're going to agree upon it and be like, "That's exactly the medical reason." Doctors
now I'm
figured
thinking,
it out.
I've never put my cock in somebody's. I think it's a mind fuck, is what it's called.
The mind fuck.
Can you do? Never, I mean,
I don't.
That can be done. I mean, I guess anything can be done, but that's.
I guess
when you have to have a very thin penis to do that, like a.
Don't pop the eardrum. It. It's like the cervix. You don't want to hit it. It makes you mad. Oh. Too soon. What else was on that? Oh, yeah. The wrists I thought was interesting. The wrists were on the list.
That's a fun one. I don't think I've played with that very much.
I haven't had anyone make out with my wrists in a long time since college, probably. So
the wrists are sort of...
it feels all right. I feel... Ooh, it feels tingly now.
I want to see that one more. Again.
Yeah. Yeah, you like that? I was talking to some friends of mine who like, create web content and they do like comedy sketch stuff. And they're talking about how they do a show called Adventure Hour where they people have a magical bracelet and they like basically force themselves into movies and suddenly they're interacting with the characters from Jaws. Like it's a fun little premise. I'm like, oh my God, I want to do that, but instead I want to be like in the Indiana Jones scene where like Indy's being whipped or whatever, and I want to be in the background and be like, yeah, you like that. Yeah, you like that. And then just find all the violent scenes and make it kinky. Like it was consensual the whole time and they're just role playing. Like make it okay for everyone. Because I don't like violent movies. So anyway, just want to make everything okay. Cool. Oh, don't feel sorry for me. It's fine. It's fine. Books.
That's supposed to be risk. They're supposed to be sort of an area of.
Oh, sorry. They're supposed to. I'm speaking completely out of my ass here, but they're meant to be some sort of an avenue into instinctual, I've seen in meditations people coming together through the inner part of their wrists, you know.
Thin skin. Connected like vulnerable. Our blood to blood.
Oh. Right. Yeah.
So like jugular to jugular, like just like slam your neck against someone's neck. Yeah, we're wrist to wrist right now. I feel like we're Power Rangers.
There's something to it.
Yeah. Ooh.
Something to it.
Ooh.
Feel a little left out.
Sure.
But.
I'll breathe on it. All
right.
What'd you say?
I'm gonna wrist to you guys.
Oh yeah.
This is the excellent. New cult greeting. Yeah. But cool. Isn't that it too, right? Thin skin, vulnerable areas, like no matter what they are,
Yeah.
I mean, showing your vulnerable areas, like showing your neck to someone, there is a certain, like, I like you, I feel safe with you, like, I'm offering myself up to you. Yeah. Like, yeah, there is a certain flirt factor to that. Yeah, sure. What else? Oh my God, we talked about nipples. What?
Oh, well, on that same tip, I think a really tender thing is to kiss a closed eyelid.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that?
I saw it in like 8 seconds, when the movie 8 seconds about rodeos. And it's in that movie and Luke Perry is stunning. And he kisses on the eyelids and I was like, I'm doing that forever. It's so sweet. He dies at the end, so you should honor him by that way.
Aww.
He does.
In a kissing on the eyelids.
Oh yeah,
accident?
Sorry, spoiler alert. Sorry. Has anyone not seen that yet? From the 1994, so.
On the subject of kissing on eyes, I prefer to rest my entire breast on someone's eye as a show of.
I like that.
And I just go, boop on the eyes. Yeah, I like you.
You got sort of a Cosby voice when you did that. When the eye and the jello, when the broody and the. It's the first time I've ever done that. So,
yeah. The butterfly kisses on the nipples.
Oh my God, a Cosby porn would be amazing.
Is that a thing?
Because they're smart, and so it's empowering.
The turtlenecks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. And when I had a friend who had requested, and I've been referencing this a lot lately, but I had a friend who requested that for her birthday, she had a sensual birthday where we all like come together, like some of her close friends, and like rub her body and do sexy things to her body. And she was just like inspired. Yeah. Sorry to break it to you, Ryan. I hang out with people who are like, I'm going to be naked. I'll be naked too. Let's all be naked. Like these are.
I like learning this on stage though.
It's a whole world. And she was blindfolded. And so, I couldn't put my boobs on her eyes. Bummer. But I brought my boobs down to, like, shove on her face, like, while someone else is doing something to her, because I'm all like, these are soft. And she told me later that the fact, like, she just felt these breasts coming from heaven because she was blindfolded. And she was like, they felt huge. I'm like, nobody in this room right now has huge boobs. And I was like, thank you. I'm like, the power of blindfolds. The perception is everything. Like, now I'm going to.
I would love if she knew it was you right away because that's like your move. Like she was like, oh, Sandra. Your titties.
The funny thing is she was trying to like put her mouth on them, but like I wasn't turned on. It was more like, ooh, sick. You know, you have requested this. I'm going to rub my hands on you and here's a boob in your face. And she was trying to put her mouth on it. And every time she'd like hit my nipple with her mouth, I'd be like, hey, 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 hey. So like it wasn't sexy at all, but she was also had headphones on, so she couldn't hear anything. So
whoa,
what
was on the headphones?
Like music. Just music. Like, so basically she had no idea who was doing what. So she couldn't hear me screaming.
Oh, so you guys could like... So you guys could like confer about what was gonna happen.
Yeah, it could be like, bro, get her vag, get her vag, like get her feet. Yeah,
that is great.
It was really cool.
That's like a really like fun MRI. That's like a better version.
What were you saying?
It's like John Madden.
Oh yeah, just with the audibles calling. Oh yeah, yeah, audibles when you're a quarterback. But
yeah, there was total, there was tactic, and there was everything. Okay, so the thing about this article that really made me mad, and this, I mean, of course, this is just the most recent thing, but I mean, I've been seeing sex articles in magazines since I was a teenager. I don't know about you, and I'm always like, oh, I want to read it. And then as I got older and more experienced, I got more and more angry at these articles because they're always so cut and dry about what is correct, what is not correct, what is the new big thing, when really everybody's freaking body's different. And so in this article, then it goes like, back of the knee, women are sus, and it was also gender specific, which is like, bros be sensitive behind the knee too, my friend. Whatever. But like, if somebody tries to be all sensual with the back of the knee, I feel like I want to kick them. I want to horse kick them because that's not cool. Don't play with the back of my knee.
It's too tickly.
It's so tickly, like angry tickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you feel that? I'm like that on my side a little bit, so I get
yeah.
Whatever.
You're like, oh. Yeah, like you get kung fu real fast. Yeah. Do you have any particular spots in your body that are like that?
That are too sensitive?
Yeah, where if I'm like, I'm gonna lick your elbow, you'd be like, I'll kick you.
Surprise! Right in my inner thighs.
Oh,
thighs.
Really? That's
and
dangerous.
It's always like a lead up to a good.
All the articles tell you to do that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I get so squirmy, like I'm gonna crush somebody's head with my knees. They just like, you know, coming in, and it's always like a thing, like somebody's like Catwoman, just like,
ooh. And you're like, don't do it.
Thing, and
that's
it's just
your,
way
and that's
too
your
ticklish
kryptonite
to me.
Or whatever. That's like your kryptonite where you're just like, don't do it. You don't know what'll happen.
It's a little bit like is, and I always try to think, we like, just get over it and be okay with it, and I just can't. It's
See,
so
and
you're sensitive.
Just super
so
tickly
sensitive.
There,
and then you're fighting yourself. You're fighting your natural urges because you feel like you should be able to handle that. Right. Oh my god, that's like a summary of all the things that we do. Sorry, it's like really deep right now. I'm like, that's like everything. When you're like, oh, I should like this. I'm gonna just. It's like when people want to go down on me when I'm on my back, and I'm like, I feel like I should like this. I'm just gonna lie here and wait until they're tired. You know? Oh my! Someone in the audience is like, yes, yes. But at some point, when I'm either like really just like, dude, seriously, I'll just totally.
Well, sometimes you want to like figure out if you can make that become the erogenous, like. You know, sometimes you don't, it's not, like wine.
Oh, metaphors.
Maybe you didn't like it right away. Or maybe like anal sex, you might not have liked right away, but you want to like be open to the idea that something inside your butt might feel nice eventually. So you give it a couple shots, but then eventually there's a point when you got to be like, okay, no, this is not my thing.
Yeah, but sometimes you discover Narnia by doing that. You know, by just letting it be. You know, like I never heard of it, but. Like, all right.
We just found out that instead of the wardrobe, the key to Narnia is actually the butthole.
right.
The magical lion.
Right. My butthole is a portal to a magical land where
the
Jesus
Indian in the
lion rules.
You spend a little time futzing around the closet, and then you're like, whoa! Right.
Oh my god, really well played.
Thank you.
I found that with my own nipples, like people who just want to gnaw on them and get in there.
Man nipples.
Yeah, man nipples. And I'm just like, all right, you know, like in the first times that it ever happened, when somebody was experimenting that way with my, you know, just going down, I was like, at the time I wasn't sure if I was into it or not. Uh-huh, so right. I had the impetus to say, I'm not really. And I was like, just shut up. Just let's see what happens. You know, you don't know. Uh-huh. You don't know. And, you're the boss of my nipples. And you know, and it was pretty thrilling. It was something I was like, oh, I'm really into it. I don't know if I'm super into it, mm-hmm. but, you know, but I'm open to, you know, to that kind of play. And I know that about myself now. But, but really just like a lot, I go through life just sort of being like, I'll just shut up and see if it's any good.
Yeah, try anything twice. That's not good. My father taught me that rule, and he meant it about heroin also. He like said it in the lecture he gave me. He said it was also including heroin. Try anything twice, and then second time you're free to be like, not into it.
Right.
You know, that is a really good, I like that. I like it. I do it like four times before I'm like, oh, maybe I should.
Four times?
Yeah.
That's right. Probably more accurate.
But yeah.
Two
but
times.
Like sex toys. Sometimes couples or a person will take a toy home. And I mean, you don't need sex toys, but they're like, why not? They're just extra fun. which is extra fun. But people will try it once, be like, well, that's stupid. And then just, I'm like, no, you need, it's like a new partner. You just, you slowly integrate it. You can't just be like, stupid, and then like, waste of money.
Right.
So it's great.
Well, because also, well, I don't, won't speak for anyone else, but I know for me, like, the first time something is introduced into the bedroom, I will giggle about it for a while until the mood is ruined and you got to try again. Because it's any toy of any kind, if it's like going to, I will just laugh hysterically until we have to wait for a couple hours and do it again. So yeah, 4 times probably.
Cool.
To put any toys inside of my Narnia.
Your wardrobe.
New characters in my Narnia.
Not a Narnia wardrobe. It's just the portal.
So I'm curious, just yell out from the crowd, what are some of your favorite erogenous zones? Just yell it out. Armpit.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Head, ankle, in between the fingers. That one can be very successful. Yeah, but like, especially in a restaurant, you're like, any others? Back of neck, hips. Did I hear hips? Is that like the hip bone where it's all sensitive right on the side? That is pretty hot. Although I get really ticklish. Where? It's just like starting on the hips and then slowly going down, downtown. Head's interesting. I always think of the head because the head has so many tingly zones and like scratching and rubbing. But then I find that my victim of pleasure tends to fall asleep. Like, they're just so, like... So, I... I see. That's the line. There's, you... Because you arouse, like, a really successful, wonderful arousal is where you're both relaxed and aroused. And so, scratchy massage is where you start to relax the human, and then you pull to arouse the human, and that juggling act could be the magical Libra balance for the scalp. I never put that together. Thank you, gallon tube top strapless dress person. Ah, we're changing lives, FYI, comic person.
Excuse me.
Okay, so now I want to bring out 2 things that are one of my favorites. Oh, do you have an opinion? Do you have thoughts?
It's a good one where you do this kind of thing.
Oh, what was? Oh, we're about to do a thing. Oh! Yeah! He just did the backhand nail drag from my wrist to my shoulder. That was actually pretty hot. Like my whole, and now my whole arm is alive. Like I have my right arm is dead, and my left arm is all tingly and alive. I love when you wake up people's bodies. Do you? Is that your power move?
It's just something I picked up along the way of not saying no. you know, what's another one? When I was in high school, I hung out at the community college that was near my house, and I met this girl. I thought she was so hot. She was soaking. She was an older woman and everything. Mm-hmm. And she was introducing me to the hair pulling. You know, as an erogenous zone. And she's like, it feels so good. It's better than sex. And I didn't find it to be so, but I found it as a really good accoutrement to it, but you know, but in terms of the head, the back of the area, like a good solid.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. Okay. Oh. Let me see. Can I? Okay. This is I'm warming up my hair pulling hand.
Let me pull my.
Oh. Okay. Let's see it. All right.
It rained today, so.
Yeah.
It rained today, so I was trying to avoid a little Jufro with it.
All right. So I'm nails up the back.
Oh, really good.
Get in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
Yes! Power move!
That's the power. That is the power move.
Backhand nail drag up the nape of the neck. Bring it back. Bring it into the hair. Grip like a power fist and pull slightly. Knock on heaven's door.
You can do them all in one move. You can just keep rolling up the... up to the shoulder and then back into the, it's one.
I have a podcast to do.
Well, you're here till Sunday, so it's.
Okay, so I have my vulva puppet. I don't know what to name my vulva puppet, but they bring her to classes. She's Maud. But she's made by a total like 1970s dyke hardcore.
Those on Portlandia. That's what
really I have. Yeah, Portlandia. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I have the mini one. What?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I need to catch up on this action. But yeah, I like that you can be like, yeah. You never have too many vulva puppets. But I like that you can be like, blah, blah. I'm a vulva puppet. But I don't know what to name her. I don't know. I feel like my friend's one is named Fanny. And then I feel like maybe like Margaret Thatcher or Julia Child. Like, that's hey,
Margaret Snatcher.
I like that.
Margaret Snatcher. But yeah. Margaret Snatcher. Does anyone have any other names for her? I mean, we're feeling Margaret Snatcher. Although, I probably, no matter what, I always give it a Julia Child name.
Georgia O'Queef.
Blaine. That is not... I'm very upset about queefing. I can't believe that's a thing. That is a thing that exists. How many women queef in yoga?
Yeah.
Because of all the leg lifts? Yeah, there's nodding in the audience. Because all the leg lifts and things that like you just air in, air out. It's messed up. It's not fair. Have you ever queefed?
Or no, you don't like to queef? Or you don't like other people queefing?
No. The fact that yoga is a thing that is healthy and enjoyable as a hobby and a way of life. But vaginas queef.
Oh, yeah. I like queefing in yoga. That's not
oh, really?
I like... That's like a part of the release, I think. It's nice.
Keep What's it that? Tight?
Oh, I thought you were saying.
You mean, do you mean, oh wait, someone's saying keep your pelvic floor
Sometimes
lifted.
Sometimes I do it on
queef.
Purpose, though, honestly. Not like to be gross, like to really, because it's like the letting go.
Does that mean to squeeze your PC muscles as you're doing leg things? When you say up, you mean to pull in with your PC tension. That's what you're talking about. Because I'm like, I don't know, like, if there's a button. Like, I don't... That's what I think of as the draw-in. Okay, that makes sense, because you're basically... The envelope is, like, extra tight or extra flat when you do that. I hadn't thought about that. I don't personally do that, but like, I have a bunch of friends who do, and they're just like, oh, vaginas. but I like that you're... Aaron, you're, like, so into... The queefing.
The kind of yoga I do, you don't go upside down a lot, but when you do, look out. I'm queefing. I'm doing it.
And I wanted to share, because this is a friend of mine who I have at home and I reference on the podcast, and this is Prostate Pete. Oh, who's a prostate? Who's a prostate? Who likes to get pressed? Oh, you got the little seminal vesicles. You know, oh, they're squishy. And if you listen to the Penis Power episode, these are the things that get all full and then like squeeze out during ejaculation. And this is Charlie Glickman, who's in my house. He hid this from me, and I couldn't find it for about a week. And that he's like, because we were like, let's. I'm gonna hide your prostate, and you have to find the prostate. And then I found it. It was in my desk drawer. So that's where my prostate is. So Pete and I have a really special relationship. So anyways, one of my favorite things that I like is the ears. So I would like to open up the podcast to anybody who has quandaries, questions, or something to share. Are there anybody? So here, this is a choose your own adventure process. So if you have a thought or a question, can you raise your hand? Just in like one short sentence, what is it about? Just like, this is on bondage, or this is on my partner needs to figure out this thing, or what is it about? Miley Cyrus. Okay. What's yours?
What?
Lube. And then what in the back? NULLO. I don't even know what that is. Good. Okay, so... And a round of applause. We need to vote for which one we want to have up to talk about, okay? So I'm going to point at the person, and you're going to holler for the one that you want, all right? Miley Cyrus. Lube. Nulo. Come on up to the stage. Yes, come. Come sit. Come, we can gather close. It's fine. Hi.
Hello. How are you? Oh.
What's your name?
Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. Welcome.
Hello.
What is Nulo?
I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Okay. Tell me everything.
My friend and I were talking about it. Pretty much it's body modification.
Ooh, something I haven't covered on the show yet.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was going to ask you if you did a podcast on it before, but...
Not yet. Not. What type of body modification?
Like that's castration pretty... and things like that. It's interesting.
Okay, is it a specific kind of castration, or is it just what you call sexual castration for people who, is it like where it's a fetish where it's actually a sexualized behavior?
Yes.
Nullo. N-U-L-L-O.
Yes.
As castration because they think it's hot.
Yes.
I have no opinions about this at all. Oh, man. Wait. How do you know about this?
The information superhighway, the internet.
Oh, that place.
Yes. I don't know. My friend sent me an article, and I read it, and I was like, whoa, that's really interesting. So the article itself, it had this guy first. He was in a relationship. So it went from bondage into that.
Was there a chastity section of his relationship?
One more time.
Chastity, like where he was locked up or wasn't able to?
No, in this article, no.
Okay, just straight up.
Yeah, like, hey, you're mine. It's kind of like S&M to another level.
Well, I mean.
Yeah. So pretty much in this article, the guy was in a relationship and he eventually said, you have to, like, from this point on, you're mine, and whatever I say, you're going to do.
Oh, wait a minute. That brings up some red flags, though, in terms of, like, 50 Shades of Grey, like, you're mine, like, you signed a contract, you do anything, like, but I have feelings. Like, no, you don't. Like, that kind of feels like not real S&M. That feels like just mean. And anybody who's, if you have any FetLife people in there, like, you know, like, a red flag. Wait.
There were a few red flags.
But, wait, so does that mean there was, like, a whole ritualized situation where that was part of it is how, or did they get, like, a doctor to do it? Like, it was just a surgical procedure? It's like, now I don't have balls. I am yours forever. Like that?
Allegedly. Because this is an article, and, you know, anything's on the internet. But allegedly.
I have heard that this is a behavior, and a lot of this genital body modification stuff is big in Brazil specifically. I've heard that. I don't know if there's a big community in Brazil. I know Elaine Angel, who is the wife of Buck Angel, who I've had on the show. She is a body modification expert who does a lot of piercings and tattoos and things. So next, because they live in Mexico City. But next time I have her in town, I should have her on and talk about this. But we haven't gotten that hardcore into it. I haven't even had, like, not baby fetishes. That's weird.
Make it cry.
Infanticide is killing babies. Infantilism is, I'm like, is that death? No, that's just, I want to be a baby. I actually might have that episode come up pretty soon. So it's just like, okay, all right. Fetishized castration. No, on the list now.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing this world that will. Blaine, how do you feel about that?
I wouldn't do it myself. But you know what? A couple years, maybe, maybe I'll be into that. Maybe I'll be done with my balls.
Done with your balls.
Like the it's never occurred to me. As something that...
But the don't say no.
Start with one.
Start with
the
right. Exactly. Yeah.
Try anything twice, though, right?
Right.
Nice. Well,
wait, is castration just balls or the shaft? I don't know.
Oh, you're just cutting off the balls.
Just balls.
I mean, you would die if you didn't have...
Yeah, I know. I'm very dumb. I get it.
No.
I'm aware.
I'm just working it out. I'm not saying it. I'm just working it out.
That's why
I
was like, we cut off his... That's great.
Oh yeah, there are multiple types.
Really?
Wait, a eunuch doesn't have a penis? I didn't realize that eunuchs also lost their penises.
How do they?
I clearly need to get up and. Do you want to get up here and explain some situations? Okay, podcast listeners.
You know,
Someone is hollering up here that eunuchs lose everything, penises, or give up everything. Because losing, that's a quality statement. That's not, but yeah, I'm gonna have to. What's happening there? People are having points. Oh, castrati is yes to preserve their high voice before puberty sets in. Yes, you know, there are different contexts as to which you would castrate a male. Yes. Definitely. But
do they not come after that? Ever?
I don't know. You know, I will have to find someone who's had elective procedure done on that and ask all these questions. That is That's the great thing about sex nerding. There is more to always learn. Oh, I love this.
I mean, you know.
Oh, everyone's like, they're excited over there.
I've had genital modification.
Oh yeah? What you got?
I had a bris.
Oh.
When I was a kid, I had forced genital modification as a child. I had no say in it, but I have an attractive penis now, so I'm like, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but you know, I don't remember
it. How do you feel about that?
I think I'm not into it.
No.
I mean, I don't know what I felt at the time, but I wouldn't do it too. If I had a son, I wouldn't do it.
Is your background, are you Jewish?
I'm
is
Jewish,
that how
yeah.
you were raised?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not a religious, you know, I don't have religious.
Me too. L'chaim.
Hey.
Hey.
That's the official Jewish greeting, is
it? Jewish high five.
Check it. Bavaka shot.
I don't know it.
Someone knows the Jew call?
Is that
That's
a Jew
call?
Do not tell
Jewish
my mother that I don't know that.
Yeah, get mad at her, for sure. Okay, so, but as a Jewish person who had...
I mean, it's certainly been done to... I mean, I had it done. My parents were into it.
Well, why don't...
into
I mean,
it.
I mean, I don't know if they were into it. They were like, oh my God, I can't wait to have a son to like chop off his fucking foreskin. I don't think they were like that, but they just were like, that's what you do, and they did it. They were into it.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. I guess so many people who have been circumcised are like, yeah, I'm so glad I'm circumcised. And so it's always interesting to talk to someone who's like.
I'm not talking to people. I mean, I don't know any different. But speaking to my friends who are not circumcised, I would way rather have kept what was given to me at, you know, at the start. Because they're into it. And if it's just, and they say that you get more sensitivity. I don't know the difference. I don't, you know, I have no way of gauging the difference, but they seem pretty satisfied. I'm satisfied too, but
there was more.
Again,
there was an extra piece that is no longer there.
Right. Which apparently has way more nerve endings than, like you give up way more nerve endings, you know, and I don't, there's I don't see a reason. I don't see in this modern age. Mm-hmm. Any kind of reason for the practice,
no.
but I'm not an expert. But
medical field has gone back and forth on the issue. But I think currently the American Pediatric Society is like, you don't need to do that.
Right. They say that it's like that. You there's a couple of different things that they say that there's a cleanliness issue. Well, wash your fucking dick.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, you know. Thank you, penis owner, for saying that.
Just saying, you know, I'm sure everyone who's, you know, who has or has experienced a penis would rather it be washed.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. As a clit owner, I don't know if I've talked to different females about this moment, and some people figured it out long ago, some people still haven't figured it out, but the moment where I realized that if I lift up my clitoral hood, there's like stuff going on there. And then like
smegma,
yeah.
I love that word.
How do you feel about that word?
I am just learning that word.
Oh, I love it. We're a good panel. Bill Maher, eat your heart out. But yeah, so there was a moment where I realized I needed to lift up and be like, oh. And so then now I do that when I wash my genitals, right? Whereas if I didn't. But depending on how you're lathering, you might be doing it inadvertently anyway. But it was just like a thing.
I doubt that I am, but I appreciate your your gift of my cleanliness.
But then I imagine that if someone has a foreskin and it didn't never occurred to them to pull back, that they might not wash underneath there. And so that's just something that in parenting you just like tell your kid like, hey.
I don't know.
Wash your
by
dick.
The time
inside and out.
Like your parents can tell you, but by the time you're old enough for it to really matter, you've explored every possible part of your penis like on a daily basis.
You probably got something stuck in there at one point.
Yeah, I mean,
wash it out.
I knew a guy who used to, as a joke, used to put a piece of hard spaghetti, uncooked spaghetti, in his urethra.
Oh my God.
As a joke.
Like it was college and he would just walk into the room when we had company. He would walk in.
With a hard on? Was his dick hard when he did it? Or was he just like.
I don't think. No. No. Not my memory of it. No.
Not my memory.
It was really, really funny.
Wait, because you'd have to do the glance and the look away and then like, did I really see that?
He would do, yeah, right.
Is it like that?
Yeah.
Where it's a double look?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We get a triple look.
Wow. I mean, for people do that. It's called sounding. You know, a lot of people, I wouldn't necessarily recommend using sounding. Is where you use thin metal rods to enter the urethra. Yes. Super hardcore. Someone's waving.
Yeah,
like,
what was
really
the
happy.
Wave about?
Are you a fan?
You have one in right now?
Come on up and share.
This is not a happy story.
Okay, so it can be short and simple, but you said it was done to you.
That's correct.
Was it in a sexual context?
No.
Oh!
I get kidney stones a lot.
Oh, those hurt so hard.
They're horrible. And I had to go to the emergency room once, and they put a thin metal rod down the entire length of my penis to open it up so I could pass the stone.
So they dilated your urethra so it was easier to pass the stone.
Correct.
Usually, when you can't pass it, don't they just surgically go in? I didn't realize that was a
misstep. No. They much prefer to let it happen naturally.
That makes sense.
That's natural, yeah.
Naturally with
a metal rod up
Did they at least
loop
up the sound? Was there at least...
I don't know.
Did they put you
no
under?
They gave me no warning. They just grabbed me.
No! That is wrong. I am mad about that. That's, you know, I'm... Some medical practitioners are fantastic, and others are just like cold, heartless.
Yeah.
Yeah. She seemed to enjoy what she was doing.
What?
Okay, you had opinions.
No, I just my opinion is, oh my god. Oh. I did say, look, when I went to go.
Thank you.
I did go once. Nothing of that magnitude, but I had syphilis, a chlamydia test. They have to just swab the.
Oh.
When that was done, when I did that at the clinic and just getting everything tested, the woman did that and I jumped back like 3 feet. She's like, "I haven't even touched you yet." And then when she finally did it, it was again. You know, I'm nothing like what you must have experienced. But just as a joke afterwards, I said, "I bet there's some people who really enjoy that." And without breaking a moment or breaking a smile, she was like, "I've never met them."
Dude, context is everything, okay? Because just like,
they're
prostate,
like, they don't enjoy it when she does it. Probably. She sounds like not very nice.
She didn't do it right.
This is why sexuality needs to be more like taught with medical practitioners, because it makes me like, part of it's like funny, but then it's also I'm mad because like with you, and with the sounding thing is you're being dilated past where you're ready for. I mean, when men play with sounding, I mean, women, female bodies play with it too, but it tends to be more male focused. Lots of lube, ideally surgical, sterile lube is ideal. And your thin rods, like you get them at an adult store or a medical supply, but they're called sounds. And you get the smallest one and people will dilate up. They can actually get pretty big. But like when you talk to a guy who does it, they'll take their penis, whether it's hard or soft, and they rest the sound lubricated at the tip of their penis. And then because it's weighted, it will drop into their penis without being pushed. And so the body, just like anally, like the body will allow the metal rod in, so it shouldn't hurt. And so I've had friends, like Mike, who was on the show, he did the... gay potluck episode and the sex store warriors episode, and he's fucking hilarious. He was just terrified of it, and then he'd met all these people coming into the store who were like, "It's my jam, my dick loves it." And then he was and I remember his face being like, no, don't put anything in my dick. And then like then he found someone who showed him how to do it, and he loves it now. And he didn't, and he was just like, "That is fucking hot." And so some people talk about how it feels like you're pissing cold steel. It's like this really manly feeling. Anyway, so in terms of sounding as a thing that people do, the people who do it, it doesn't necessarily hurt them. I did have a catheter removed after a surgery. I was under when they put it in and then not when they pulled it out. And that was not okay. Not okay. But I was trying to make it sexy, like big sexy thoughts, because arousal can reduce pain. It can really switch you to different, you know, so like if you ever like get shots or whatever, I'll be like, three people on one, you know, like, before they, you know, like the, Like the HPV vaccine is really thick and it hurts a ton when you get it. It's a little thick. So yeah, I'll pump my PC muscles and just be like, medical play.
I had to get a nerve test today and I could have used that. Oh yeah? Really well. Yeah.
A nerve test, like where they poke you?
Yeah. I have like a neck issue.
Oh.
So they had to make sure my nerves were good, and they are. Don't worry, you can still do that. But they, so they had to poke like pretty thick needles in, and then he told me that I have a really high threshold for pain, and I was like, I don't think that's accurate. But thank you.
I want to get one more person up here, and I know that there's a couple here who was inspired by one of the episodes. To do something that they told me right before. Do you have any interest in coming up and sharing, person who shared with me before the episode? Come on up! Hi.
This is very odd to like not have you in my ears.
I know, I'm in your face! I'm in your face!
I was not.
What's your name?
Brando.
Brando?
Yeah.
Cool name. Hello, Brando. I'm Sandra. Hi.
I'm Sandra.
So what is it that you were moved to do after one of my episodes?
We decided to go to Burning Man this year. Yay! Yeah. Who's been to Burning Man before? Do we have a lot? All right, great. This was my third year in the playa.
Okay.
Wasn't actually planning to go.
It wasn't your first year, but you weren't planning to go. Okay. No. But then what happened?
We were planning a wedding and we're like, that's really fucking crazy to do. And we need a break and need to leave reality of wedding planning and go to the playa. And that we weren't sure. And we took a long ride and we were listening to your podcast about
getting laid at Burning Man.
Yeah. And we're like, that sounds fucking awesome. We should go. And we have a great community of people who did things and tickets appeared and flights and stuff, and we were on the playa. And we were walking around and we're like, that orgy dome thing sounds awesome.
The orgy dome!
And she was like, I wonder where it is. I'm like, I have it written down right here.
From the episode?
Yeah.
Because he told you exactly it was going like Esplanade and Fourth or whatever?
Four and A. Yes.
Oh my god, so what, because I didn't get to go because I was planning the tour. I was like, that's just, I can't go to the playa. But so what was it like? Did you have a good time?
We had an amazing time. My partner is super kick ass and I'm so happy to be marrying her.
Love, it's love.
So let's see, we were walking around, we were totally sober, which is, you know, not really a thing on Burning Man, but that was important for that night, whatever. And we went there, and you go in, and there was like a waiting. It felt a little like being in New York, because you go, you put your name on a list, and they're like, thank you, we'll seat you in a little while. I'm like, okay.
Oh, he didn't mention there was a waiting list. So you waited in the outside area?
Yeah, you sit down, and there are all these like couples there, and they're like licking each other, and like, should we have got a reservation or something? I was a little confused. But we went in, and there are lots of people doing things in multiple configurations all over. And we were like, okay, that's interesting. Let's just keep going. And we're like,
Wait. You can't just be like, and there were multiple configurations. Like, you sound like me trying to make things sound like sanitary. Like, were you like, oh my God, look at those people boning. Like, it's like five stacked high. Or like, did you have any moments of like, I didn't know that was possible. Or like, what did you see?
Let's see. There was ones and twos and threes and fives. But there was one that had like a silver cowboy hat, and I'm like, her. Like, right away. Just, she was, like, in a group of five, and she didn't seem, like, that into it. I'm like, she looks pretty cool.
Like, they were making out or talking, or what was...
There was one person...
I want to know.
Okay, so we walked in. There's a girl. She's, like, on the massage table. There's, like, four people, like, manning different stations and just kind of, like, working the whole thing.
So, like, four people on her body just doing different things.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a
cool
zone play. Kind
massage
of thing.
Tables, I hear, are really good for that. I didn't know they had massage tables. Yeah. Blaine, have you ever been to the Orgy Dome?
I was invited to the Orgy Dome, and you know, Burning Man, I just didn't make it. You know? I got distracted.
so early into the journey to get there that I just didn't. I never made it in, but I heard I heard tales of it.
Yeah.
See, that's not actually a bad story. Last year I went, but it was like too late because we got distracted with stuff, and they've already closed.
The Orgy Dome has hours.
The Orgy Dome has hours. Wait, so you listened to the episode? What were you surprised about that you weren't prepared for, or like you were like, oh, this?
I think you're just kind of like, how is this going to happen? Like, what's going to happen? You're never sure how to interact with a person or like how you're going to get things started. And basically, someone came over and said like, hey, you seem pretty cool. We have a couch. And like, things start going.
Wait, you and your partner were in the Orgy Dome. Yes. Somebody came over. Also, there's a Thunderdome like Mad Max where everyone fights. So I like
that's where we were right before.
Oh, nice. Nice. Rah! Ah, I love this. And so someone approached you and you were like, I've got a couch. And they were like, I've got a sex drive. And then like came together.
No. So I had seen the girl. We went, we sat down. We were just like, okay, we're not really sure what to do. Magically, she comes into the space where we are. So I'm like, this is my chance. And I get up and I go and I make terrible chit chat. But eventually just ends with, I have my pretty partner over here. Would you like to come play with us? And she was like, sure. And she was being all French.
All French?
Yeah.
I love it. Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it. I love it that you go out and prosper. Like, live your lives and tell me about it. Like, yes, yes. You whippersnappers.
Have you orgy domed? Have you?
I have not orgy domed. I thought it was in the red light district of like 7th and F or something, because there's also like a dungeon district. But I usually end up in like the play zone, like, oh, a giant pit full of foam. I'm going to jump in it and have post-traumatic stress about that. Like that's my, you know, and let me go see that weird thing. That's really cool. So yeah, that's my playa experience usually. But then as I mentioned on the show, like, something about all the dust. Like, I don't feel dirty, but I don't want to do anything with a person below their neck. I don't know. I hug. You know? So, yeah. It's Burning Man. Cool. Do we have any last questions of anybody who's just, like, something burning in their soul? Oh, shy girl on the left. What's up? Come on up for a sec. Just share with us. Hi. I like your blouse. What's your name?
Melody.
Hi, Melody.
How are you?
Welcome.
I have so many questions, but the one that I'm pressing now is headgasm.
Headgasm? Do you mean okay.
I really like it, and I haven't done it in a while since we were talking about the head thing. I was like, oh, yeah, I do like that. Where I'm on top, and I'm just riding, and then my husband will put his hand right there. And
right on the back of the neck?
Yes, the very small, small piece. But then he does that movement that you did with your hands where you just like slowly and then pull and then pull a little more. But we also have that metal thing.
Which metal thing?
Yes.
It does the tingly?
Yes. It does not vibrate. I hear there's one that vibrates. Has anyone tried
I've
that one?
I've never experienced that. But it's like the tingly thing you can get at Sharper Image or Bed Bath or wherever.
Yes. That's crazy.
So are you saying that you experience orgasm when that happens?
Yes.
Every time? Or is it just sort of a...
I think I have to be on top. I'm not sure.
But so you need to be aroused, penetrated, riding, and then a tingly thing? Oh my goodness, I've never thought about that. I'll use that as floor play, or people will tell me... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like a little octopus. But foreplay does like almost get me there with the tingly thing. Also.
Interesting.
So
use it at like at the... At the 11th hour, you apply the octopus.
Yes. Oh, it's like anal beads for your brain?
There you go.
Is that like what it is?
Great idea.
No, what a great idea. That's all I have to say. What a great idea.
Cool. Oh, is that a question? Or?
Well, yeah. Have you... What's your take on headgasms?
I'm a yes. I mean, I don't have any particular... I mean... It's clearly, I mean, they say the vagus nerve is the nerve that's wired throughout the rest of your body where you orgasm from. I don't specifically have anything to say except good for you. Like, clearly, if you're experiencing like a build, release of any sort, even if it's not in your genital area, that counts as an orgasm. And some people might feel like it's sexual. Do you feel it also in the genital area?
Absolutely.
Like, so it actually...
It drives down and explodes.
Ooh, it drives down and explodes. But then I wonder is if you were mostly turned on and like you pulled out and then you kind of lied down and then it happened. I wonder if you could like wire your body to orgasm from just that. You know, because then I'm just wondering if it's also, it's sort of like a mixed orgasm where you play with like the clit and the inside or like the prostate and the cockhead and you play with all the different nerve endings. I wonder if it's like a mixed orgasm, but just playing with different parts. Because clearly there's stuff going on downstairs as well.
Yes.
Interesting. I have no opinions except woo! Woo! Yeah, does anybody have any thoughts, feelings? Is anyone angry? No, I think we're good. Thank you for sharing. I love questions where people are like, you know, well, so I can orgasm because when they lick my elbow and I'm just like, cool. And they're like, but yeah, what are your thoughts? It's like, cool. Like there's nothing, it's, our bodies are remarkable and they're wired to orgasm and experience pleasure. And I think we're only at the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we're capable of. So I'm not necessarily, like there's no value to like that's good, that's bad. It's like if you like that, great. If you don't like that, maybe we can figure out how to not make that happen. But if you're like, I like that, then cool. It's just to find the pleasure where you can find it. The end. Blaine McIntosh, thank you for being part of the show today.
Thank you for having me on this excellent, excellent show.
Lennox, thank you for being part of the show. What's your website
thank
again?
Thank you. It's AaronLennox.com and Twitter, Aaron Dewey Lennox.
Excellent. Twitter. Yes, and she's very funny. And there are YouTube videos.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being part of the show.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.